Just including adults and children of 11. For more details, go to afroamcivilwar.org.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Special edition of Two Heel DC. This is Joni, and we are spending the hour celebrating Veterans Day, and in specific, Black veterans. And we're going to be talking about Black soldiers who fought in the Civil War. And I'd like to welcome our wonderful guest, Frank Smith, who is the founder of the African American Civil War Museum. I'm going to ask each of our guests to say a little bit about themselves, because we have three other guests in addition to Frank. So, Frank, let listeners know who you are for those of you who don't know.
Okay, Joni, first of all, let me say Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. Who have worked so hard to keep this country safe and save democracy. We have to stay on the battlefield because of the biblical saying that says truth forever on the scaffold, lies forever on the throne. So we have to stay vigilant to try to keep the country safe and save democracy. So Frank Smith here with the African American Civil War Museum, where we are going to today talk about some special things that are happening here as we speak. And also on tomorrow, Veterans Day itself, we're going to read 209,145 names aloud so the world can hear them. And if we talk loud enough, they may hear us down there at the White House.
Okay. Let's hear from our next special guest.
Good morning. This is Kevin Douglas Green. I'm the great-great-grandson of Frederick and Anna Murray Douglas. And I'm here in our nation's capital to help celebrate and commemorate Veterans Day. I am a retired Army veteran, and I'm just happy to be here and to be able to be part of this conversation. Thank you.
Okay, let me ask our wonderful engineer, Mike, are you hearing us okay? Okay, good. Let's welcome Ernestine Tina Wyatt.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ernestine Tina Martin Wyatt, and I am three times great grandniece of Harriet Ross Tubman, who is now Brigadier General Tubman as of last year, on Veterans Day.
And welcome, Tina. And last but not definitely not least, calling us all the way from New Jersey, Larry Hamm. Larry, introduce yourself to people.
Good morning. This is Larry Hamm. I'm chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, a grassroots organization fighting for racial, social, economic justice here in New Jersey. And I'm just glad to be here with you on this special occasion. I would like to give a recognition to my father, Lawrence Hamm Sr., who was a World War II veteran, and my grandfather, Claude Cobb, who was a World War I veteran.
Absolutely. And we'd also like to give a shout out to your mother, who was born or lived most of her life right here in Washington, D.C.
Yes, Teresa Burton. Yes, my mother, Teresa Burton. That's right.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Frank now. And Frank, you want to start with a salute to veterans, Black veterans in particular, and then move into what's going to be happening later today and tomorrow.
Yes, but thank you very much, Tony. I always like to start Veterans Day by saying a little bit about my own family. My oldest son is a was in the Iraq War. His son, my grandson, is a Navy SEAL today. And for my family, when I was coming up on that peace plantation in Georgia, when we finished high school, we had to go somewhere. Everybody, if you didn't go to college, you had to go somewhere. And the ones who didn't go to college went to the military. So the military became an alternative to college. And I said yesterday that the irony of it is the highest ranking military person in my family today, active duty, is a woman. Her name is Major Tina Montgomery. And she's a woman. She outranks all of my other siblings, including my Navy SEAL. So my point is that we are still serving today, African-Americans all around the world. We're still serving the country. Not only do we see the military as a stepping stone, but we see it our moral and civic responsibility to serve our country. And I wanted to say that today because sometimes this thing gets kind of rough and tough out here in this ghetto. And a lot of funny stuff goes on. But I don't want us to ever lose focus on the fact that we have been willing to serve this country. We stood up for America when America didn't stand up for us. And if don't nobody else give tribute to our people, because today, and over the next 2 days, we're going to give tribute to 209,000 Black people who stood up for this country, changed America from a slaveocracy to a democracy. A slaveocracy is a country that's built on the basis of slavery. Slavery was in the Constitution. And it took a civil war to get three amendments to get slavery out of the Constitution. And to get that done, President Abraham Lincoln had to bring into the military. There's something almost prophetic about this. In order for you to get freedom, obtain freedom, and get rid of slavery, you had to bring some of the people who had been enslaved. 250,000 of these 239,000 names here, 150,000 of them had been enslaved when the war started. They were enslaved. They had to put on these Union uniforms, walk out on these battlefields. Didn't know who was going to win, but they had to go do it anyway. So I wanted all our veterans to be proud of themselves. I want you to know we care about you. We believe in you. God has blessed us that our people are courageous enough to stand up when the country needed us to stand up for them. So then let me take a minute here and introduce a couple of people. We're sitting among royalty here this morning. Joni and I are privileged to be sitting among royalty. I say it that way because so far I haven't found any of my relatives whose names are on this wall out here. I'm still looking, though. But these two people sitting with us today have people whose names are on the wall. One of them, you've heard already introduce himself, Kevin Douglas Green. I'm going to introduce Kevin first. And Kevin, tell us a little bit about who your relative is, what regiment he was in, and how proud you're going to be to read his name, along with many other people, out here on Veterans Day tomorrow.
Well, hello again. This is Kevin. I'm you know, proud of our Civil War contribution and, you know, our full family military contribution, but pertaining to, you know, the Civil War and African Americans' participation, of course, Frederick Douglass being very instrumental in getting Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, to include, the freed African Americans, enslaved African Americans in the country, to be able to join the Union and be able to contribute in the fight for their freedom. But within that, two of Frederick Douglass's sons, Louis, my uncle, and Charles, my great-grandfather, were two of the first to enlist into the Massachusetts 54th Regiment. And Frederick Jr. also, he didn't enlist, but he was also an active recruiter along with Frederick Douglass. And so it's, I'm always proud to think about this time of year, not only my own 20 years that I put in the Army, but thinking about them, also thinking about my wife, Patricia Green, that served 3 years in the Army, my father, Robert Green, who retired with 22 years in the Army, and then a bunch of friends and family, just to name a few, is retired Ronald Osborne, Marine Chris Burwell, retired Air Force, my brother Brian James, brother from another mother, John Mitchell, there's also, as Frank mentioned, I do have special, friends that were females that were in. One is retired Army Colonel Rita Holden. And so it's just, something that we'd never want anyone to forget, the contributions of Blacks in the military. But also, we want to make sure that people are aware of our contributions. So that's a, two-sided coin, not to forget, but to also be aware, because at times there are people that are not aware that our contributions go back to the Civil War and beyond, into the what's that first one? Revolutionary War. Yeah. So moving along, thank you
Kevin. And speaking of people, what people may not be aware of, there are people who don't know the role that Harriet Tubman played in the Civil War, and that she is considered a soldier. So Tina, tell us the story.
Hi. Well, this time last year, Aunt Harriet was commissioned by the governor of Maryland to be Brigadier General in the, let's see, what is it? The, what's the branch?
Probably the Maryland National Guard.
That's it, Maryland National Guard. And that is to give her the status that she was not able to get, because first of all, she was a woman. They didn't allow women in the military during the Civil War. And also, as a Black woman, she did so many great things that I always called her the informal soldier, or the soldier that was not known, because she was hidden in things that she was doing, the spy, the scout. And she also was over a group of men, like I guess about 9 scouts, and what they did was intelligence, and the CIA director, the last CIA director, I think Byrne, said that they modeled their intelligence gathering as, based upon what she did, because she was a phenomenal woman, intelligent, couldn't read write, but she could read people, and she could read the landscape and all those kinds of things. But she did this based upon She was enslaved and freed herself. She didn't have to come back, but she did this because, just like Kevin was saying about, and Frank was saying about democracy. Democracy could not go forward unless you freed all the people who were enslaved. And that's what she was going after. So I would be, you know, mistaken without saying also she ended up marrying a United States Colored Troop person who was in the 8th Regiment, Company G, and his name was Nelson Davis, or Charles Nelson, as how he enlisted into the regiment when he did. So, you know, there is a lot of greatness there. Also, I didn't have anyone in my immediate family. I had cousins and like that that went into the service, but because of Aunt Harriet, I was able to meet so many Black women and white women, but a lot of Black women that are in the military and serving and doing great things. So end that, because I have so much more to say.
No, I know.
I have time.
And I want to make sure, Mikey, if people can hear us. You're hearing us okay? Okay, terrific. I want to ask Tina one last thing, but of course we'll be coming back to Tina. People don't know about this 700 people that your Aunt Harriet is credited with saving.
Well, over 700, approximately around 750. And she, you know, was able to free through the, you know, doing the Combi River raid, and were able to go along that river and destroy all the money-making ability and destroying anything that they could do to use against the Union in terms of, you know, for fighting and things like that. So in those people, I mean, she just continued on even after the war, working for the Freedmen's Bureau, giving up her money, and the little bit that they gave her, which was around $200. And she used that in order to be able to set up wash houses, fill kitchens, and teach the newly freed how to take care of themselves. And so she was, you know, she was a woman that was well ahead of her time. I call her a pharmacist, an entrepreneur, a marketer, a healer. I could go on and on. Yeah, an herbalist too. She made medicines. She learned all that from her mother. But she was a great, 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 great woman.
Okay, so.
And so are you, Tina. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is To Heal DC with Joni. And we'll want to get Larry on to jump in before we move on. We're sitting here in a little room. I don't have a clock, so maybe if somebody can put their watch out here so I know what time it is. But before we want to make sure we have enough time to talk about what's happening tonight and tomorrow. But Larry Hamm, did you want to add anything to the discussion?
Yes, let me just say, first of all, what an honor it is for me to be on this program with all your distinguished guests. And with those who are organizing the events for tonight and tomorrow. I'm planning on driving down from Jersey tomorrow to be in D.C. For the ceremony at the African-American Civil War Memorial. Our organization, the People's Organization for Progress, we have over the 43 years that we've been in existence, always raised up at various times, Black History Month, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, the role that African-American soldiers played in the Civil War. And one of the things that we've done over the years is go to the African Cemetery. We go at least once a year to the African Cemetery in Pennington, New Jersey. And at that cemetery are the graves of Black soldiers who fought in the Civil War. And one of the things I learned was the reason they had the African cemetery, and that's what it was named when it was when the land was purchased right after the Civil War, was because even in the North, the Black Civil War soldiers and the Black Union soldiers and the white Union soldiers oftentimes could not be buried in the same cemetery because of segregation, racial segregation from the cradle to the grave. And one of the first times I went to the cemetery, I was looking at the headstones, and I often saw that the men were in regiments that were formed in other states. And I was looking. So it's a Black family that manages the cemetery. And I said, I don't see men from the Jersey Regiment. I see them from Rhode Island. I see them from Connecticut, Massachusetts. She said that was because Black men in New Jersey, you know, New Jersey was the last state, the last northern state to emancipate Black people. They could not even join the Union Army in New Jersey. They had to go to Pennsylvania and other states to join, and that's why many of the graves, the headstones, show that their regiments were from other states. And I just think it's so important that we honor our ancestors that fought in the Civil War. If it hadn't been for them, the North would not have won the war. The resolve wasn't there. It wasn't until, you know, Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation, which was a war measure, when they joined and joined in these huge number, 209,000, as brother told us earlier, that they turned the tide of the Civil War.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you, Larry Hamm, calling us all the way from New Jersey. We're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about what is going to be happening tonight and tomorrow. And I'm going to turn it over to the wise and great Frank Smith, wherever you want to start with, either tonight or tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll give a lot of details about what's happening.
Okay, so Joni, thank you for allowing me to do this. We are sitting today at 1000 U Street, adjacent to the African American Civil War Memorial, which has all the names on it. We're sitting here because we, and those of you who are Washingtonians may remember, the museum used to be in this building for many years, in the space where we're sitting now. Started here. Harry Jones and I, who was also Harry was a captain in the Marines. He was a roughneck. Y'all know what that's what they call these Marine guys. But he was a self-taught researcher, military researcher. And by the time we met him, he was already steeped in the military. He just had to learn the Civil War, which was easy enough to do because he was already interested. And we already had the archives here and things like that. So I want to say a tribute to Harry, too.
Absolutely.
While I'm on air. But starting today, we've got we're setting up right now for a book fair here at the Masonic Temple, 1000 U Street, in the room where the museum used to be, where CVS Pharmacy used to be. They're not here anymore. And we have about 10 or 12 artists, people who've written books, who are here. We have one of my favorite books, written by MacArthur Cotton, who was in Mississippi with me, and we were in jail together a couple of times in Mississippi as civil rights workers. He wrote a book called Mississippi Black Cotton. And if you don't know what black cotton is, you got to come down and get one of his books. He's going to be speaking here today at 12:30. He's our first speaker talking about his book. And then the young lady named Brianna Thomas, everybody knows her. She's local. She wrote a book called Black Broadway. You all know that U Street was called Black Broadway for years, before the riot of 1968 when Dr. King got killed. It was called Black Broadway primarily because it's located, not because it's located next door to the African American Civil War Memorial. We didn't put that up here until 1992. It was called Black Broadway in the 30s and 40s and 50s, primarily because of Howard University, which is right up the street. You could almost, before we built up all these government buildings around here, you could see Howard from here. But because there was a lot of big lots and stuff. So Brianna will be here today along with, and one of the favorite people that I will be interviewing myself later on today, her name is Shelley
Moore guy. Shelley is actually from Rock Island, Illinois. This is a big story. I did not know until I met these people from Rock Island that the Mississippi River at the top end of it runs north and south, runs east and west. We think of these rivers as running north and south, carrying water from the north down to the ocean, to the Atlantic Ocean. This is a story about where the Mississippi River runs east and west. Part of that touches on Illinois, Rock Island, Illinois. There was a regiment up there during the Civil War, 108th Regiment, which was fractured from Kentucky. These were mostly enslaved people who had been now in the military, been trained, and now they've been fighting in the Battle of Franklin, Tennessee, which Kevin knows about. He's reenacted there many times with this Tennessee group. They ended up there, and they sent this black regiment up there to guard white Confederate prisoners. White Confederate prisoners. You can't make this story up. So there you got guys who were enslaved who are now guarding white Confederate prisoners who've been moved up there from down south. And one of these guys in this regiment sees his ex-owner. Oh, yeah. So now the bottom done come to the top. The guy's not enslaved anymore. He's in the Union Army, and he's guarding a prison camp where white Confederate soldiers are. And the dynamics of this is so interesting because many of these people, some of these people died there. They were there for 2 years, and some of these soldiers died there. They were buried in a cemetery there, what is now a national cemetery. They had nothing honoring any of these black people until Shelley Guy and her group came along. And they finally convinced they organized people there. And she's going to come talk about her book and her family members. So she's going to do that today at around 3 o'clock. I'll be interviewing her and she'll have some copies of her book. And I want to encourage parents, you need to come out here and buy some of these books for your children. Your children got to have something to read. And trust me, they still read. People say, well, with this internet, they don't read anymore. That's what you do on the internet. You read. They're reading. They're not reading what you want them to read. And if you want them to read something, and you've heard me tell this story before. I do this with my own grandkids right now. Buy them a book, put $20 in the book, and tell them they can't take the $20 out till they read the book. You got to try to outsmart your kids now. If you don't, they'll outsmart you. Put the $20 all the way in the back. Say, don't you take this out till you read the doggone book. Now, they don't always do what I tell them. I'm not always sitting over their shoulder. But I make the point to you all, which is that this is valuable information in here that I want you to have. And I want you to know this. If you don't learn anything else about your granddaddy, I want you to learn this. And then because we expect you to keep this flame going, we have to pass this from one generation to the next. And so when you see these family members like Kevin Douglas Green, who's in here, his great great grandfather was in the Civil War. Kevin, you heard him describe his military career. He spent 20 years in the U.S. Army. This stuff goes from generation to generation to generation. And we have to tell our own story. This America is a country where you have to tell your own story. Jesse Jackson says sometimes they tell their story. His story is they tell their story, leave your story out. Well, you have to tell your own story. That's what the African-American Civil War Memorial does here in the District of Columbia. We tell our own story here, and we tell it loud, and we tell it proud. So come back and join us.
Thank you, Frank. And I just wanted to give a shout out too for Harry Jones. I know a lot of our listeners would remember him because we had Harry on all the time, Frank, all the time. He led tours right here on U Street and actually all throughout the city talking about the Underground Railroad. And Frank, maybe you can help me describe it better, but Harry also used to talk about the real U Street back in the 1800s, where there were secret large numbers of black people who were meeting underground and hiding to plan for the Civil War. And Harry Jones talked about that all the time. I haven't heard about it since, but do you remember, Frank, Harry talking about that? So that, say a few words about that U Street.
Okay, well, U Street in the old days actually was very interesting because when you think about it out loud, as I do periodically, if America was the land of the free and the home of the brave, most people would say, well, the closer you get to the United States Capitol, the closer you might get to that freedom and the closer you might get to that democracy. And I think that's one of the reasons why all of these different societies developed here in D.C.
it certainly is one of the reasons why Howard University was organized in the District of Columbia, because they wanted to make a point of showing to the world that these people were not only free now, but they're going to be full-class citizens because they're going to have the benefit of higher education. And Howard was the largest, still is, the largest land-grant country, land-grant college in the United States. They get an awful lot of money from the federal government every year. Although this president that we have in there now, whose name shall go uncalled by these lips, the president we have in here now has cut that budget by almost $60 million at Howard University. So what matters, what happens here matters. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we discovered was that there was a John Brown Society in Washington, D.C., that was right at 6th and U Street, which is near where I used to live at 4th and U myself. A John Brown Society there. That's Harry discovered that there was an organization right there. There's a church there now. But right in that location, there was a John Brown Society of blacks who was supporting John Brown. I don't know if any of them went to Harper's Ferry with him or not, but they certainly were. And it operated for years, by the way, after he was killed. And, of course, we tell a story about a guy named George Washington Williams, who fought in the Civil War under two different names. Because he was too young to join, he lied about his age. 14. You had to be 18 to join. And when he figured out, he did what some of our young people do today when they're trying to buy stuff that they don't afford to buy till they're 18 or 21. They go get somebody else's ID. So he did that, and he joined the Civil War at 14 years of age. This man, he was already free too, by the way, living in New Jersey. He didn't have to do this. This was a volunteer. I talk about this all the time, you know. He volunteered. He didn't have to do this. He could have stayed at home and settled his laurels, wait till this war was over to enjoy his freedom. But he said, if this thing is going to happen, I'm going to help. So he put his own life on the line. George Washington Williams, when he passed away, he was living at between 5th and 6th Street, right near Howard University, almost at Howard Hospital. So this area right here was just a hotbed community for, and of course, we're in the Masonic building here. The Masonic Temple was one of the first organizations in the country to stand up for freedom. This is the one of the oldest temples in the country, here where we're sitting today talking about freedom. And so the U Street has always been special. It is special primarily because Howard University, I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta. In Atlanta, there were no medical schools, there were no architectural schools, you could get an undergraduate degree, but if you wanted to get a graduate degree in medicine, want to practice medicine or practice law, you had to come to Washington and go to Howard. So there's a lot of reasons why this thing became Broadway. And one of the reasons why we located the African-American Civil War Memorial near Howard was because we want kids, when they come to Howard University as freshmen, to be able to look down the street to see a monument to the soldiers who made it possible for them to get an education. That idea comes from George Washington Williams, who fought in the Civil War, the two different names. So this is an exciting story. You all can tell I get excited about it the more I talk about it. But we are blessed to be here today. Trust me, we are all blessed to be here today. And we have to keep earning our place in life and our place in history by doing something to help others, which is what we do here at the memorial.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank. And I'm going to ask you one more question before we spend the rest of the time talking specifically about what's going to be happening tomorrow. Very, very exciting. But Frank, if you could just say a couple words about SNCC and how that relates to what you're doing tomorrow or the history of your life.
Okay, thank you.
Real quick, I'm sorry that you don't have much time. Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Frank was very much involved in it, coming from Georgia, spending a lot of time in Mississippi. And for people who don't know, we had, I don't know, Frank, you think maybe 50 people from SNCC who came when Marion Barry was ordered or advised to come here and organize for D.C. statehood.
Well, when I talked earlier about why so many of these organizations ended up in Washington, I was secretly talking about one of the reasons why I ended up here in Washington, D.C. I came here because I was married to a woman who went to Howard, and we had left school to go to Mississippi together with SNCC. And we always intended to finish college and medical school. So I came back for that reason. And I've been here ever since. and at one point, we still do have more former SNCC civil rights workers living in D.C. than any other city in the country. And we came here all for the same reason. There was no great caravan of us marching up the road from down south to Washington. But one by one, we've come here. And
So you know, I'm proud to say that as I sometimes Tina, when I compare the civil rights movement with the period of the Civil War, I say, okay, Fannie Lou Hamer would have been Harriet Tubman. Mm. Fannie Lou Hamer would have been Harriet Tubman. She was a dedicated, uneducated, probably the most courageous person I ever met in my life. I told somebody last night, at least two of them demonstrations I went on with her, when I tried to talk her out of it. I said, look, there's sheriffs out there, got the roadblock. We can't get through that. We're going to get killed. She said, look, we got to go. That's why we got to go, because we can't be scared of these people. And so that's one thing. And I said, let me say, Kevin, if I were trying to describe who would be the Frederick Douglass of our times, I would say that was Martin Luther King. And so there are a lot of ways to teach. And this is one of the ways you teach through what they call association. How do you associate these people that you see, these great leaders in history, with the leaders that the public is known today? And we've always had great leaders of our time. And so we were lucky to have them, and we're lucky to be able to carry out their legacies here at the African-American Civil War Museum.
Okay, we're running out of time. We want to spend at least the next 10 minutes telling people, Frank, what is happening tomorrow?
Okay, so what's going to happen tomorrow is this. We have 209,000 names on our memorial wall out here. The Guinness Book of World Records last year about this time, but February, named the African-American Civil War Memorial as the memorial with more names than any other monument in the world. We've gone from a time when nobody ever heard of these soldiers to a time where now they are recognized internationally. And so that's one achievement that we have. We already got a name. Now this year, we're going to do something very different, but it's going to be historical too. We're going to read for the first time 209,145 names. We're going to read them aloud. Now, I'm not crazy. I know I couldn't read that many names by myself. So I've spent the last year organizing other people to help us to read these names. For example, we have a group here from Rock Island, Illinois, that I talked about a few minutes ago. There's 22 of them in town today. They're going to read 108th, that regiment I talked about that came up the Mississippi River. They're going to read those names aloud. That's about 1,000 names. And then when they finish with that, they're going to help us get the 54th and then the 8th USCT. And when we get ready to read the 8th, Tina Wyatt, the great, I will never get this right. Tina. The grandniece of Harriet Tubman is going to go to the 8th plaque where the 8th is located. We're going to give her a bunch of names, sheets of paper with names on it. We're going to hand those sheets of paper out to everybody out there, and we're going to read those names aloud. We're going to go one by one by one. And Kevin and I had a little practice at this yesterday. We did this at a church yesterday morning. We gathered people up. We started reading. We had about 700-800 names in about 10 minutes at a church. So we know this can be done. We've got people organized around the country. They'll be reading in Mississippi. They'll be reading back in Rock Island, as I said. People reading down in Brazil. We've got a lot of reading going on out here. And if one in 50 make a million, we'll see this job get done. And we'll get this done, and we'll still be standing by about 3 or 4 o'clock tomorrow, knowing we have called these names out into the universe. You have to imagine this. We're going to call these names out. These people, this may be the first time anybody ever called out these names. First time. They lived in the heart and the mind and the papers and the letters of their family members for all these years. We started gathering some of this at our museum, which is what we show at our new museum. We get it open in a few weeks from now. But this will be the first time we ever try to apply a voice to this idea. And I think that as we call out these names, God is going to remember us as we remember them. And as long as we continue to call out their names, their spirit will always be with us. So join us tomorrow in the spirit of Frederick Douglass and in the spirit of Tina Wyatt as she channels back to her great, great aunt. I will never get it right. And you can all help with this. You can be a part of history. Join us tomorrow. Come out to the African-American Civil War Memorial. We're going to start this tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on Veterans Day. We're choosing to do this on Veterans Day because all of these people were veterans, y'all. They were the veterans that paved the way for us. So let's call out their names, do something special for them, and we'll start this year from a year every year from now on. We're going to celebrate Veterans Day by going somewhere where we can stop for a minute and call out a few of these names of these veterans who made it possible for us to get our freedom and our citizenship in the 14th Amendment and our voting rights in the 15th Amendment.
Frank, talk about the children.
Well, we have a group here that one of them was supposed to be on with us this morning. I guess they didn't get up in time. We have 14 young people from a middle school out there in Illinois who actually flew in. They had an adventurous flight coming in here. They ended up being stranded in Chicago for a while, and then some of their bags got lost, and they got here at 9 o'clock. The bags didn't get here until 11 o'clock last night, but they braved their way. They pressed their way to Washington, D.C. so they could join us in this great work that we're doing. At this moment while we speak, they're at Garrison Elementary School, which is right down the street here, 12th and S Street, named for William Lloyd Garrison, the great abolitionist. Garrison had a son named George who commanded the 55th Massachusetts. Your uncle ended up in the 55th at one point at the end of the war. So they're in town to join us. They had to get excuses. We had to write letters for them to get excuses from their school so they could miss today and Wednesday while they travel back and forth. It's a memorable experience for them. We're blessed to have them here with us. This is a story that I think we're not only trying to get out to the rest of the world, but there are a lot of ways to teach. I told you one of them about a book a few minutes ago. Another one is to have these young people travel to these places. Last Friday night, they had a going away program out there in Illinois, Rock Island. And they told me that one person donated $12,000 to help plan for their trip to come to Washington, D.C. They bought luggage for these kids. They bought an outfit for them so they could all look good while they were traveling. And they're going to spend the day with us tomorrow, y'all, reading names. It's going to be a memorable experience for them that they'll live for the rest of their lives. So come out and join us as we do something that I think is real important. It's the holidays, so you ain't got no excuse now not to be here. So if you live in D.C. and you live in this area, come on out and support us.
And Frank, actually, people can come anytime throughout the day. You don't have to come out exactly at 11 o'clock. But also tell us that other children, and as well as older people, can come. And if you come, you'll be given a list of names and you can read. So we encourage you to bring your children or your young people. Tell young people about this for tomorrow. And Frank, also, this is going to be broadcast, I think you said, over YouTube. Tell us how people might be able to hear that. That'll be happening hopefully throughout the day. But again, everybody is welcome to come and join, even if you just come for an hour. But you're welcome to come from 11 to 4. But tell us, Frank, how can people hear it on YouTube?
Well, you're very correct about that, Joni. It will be streamed live on YouTube tomorrow. And so if you can't join us out here in person, you can also come out here and you can also join us live on YouTube, on your YouTube channel yourself with the African American Civil War Memorial. So come out to join us. I want you to come out because we need some help out here.
And Frank, tell again how can people find it on YouTube?
We have a YouTube channel, the African American Civil War Memorial Foundation has its own YouTube channel, so you'll be able to join us on YouTube. And also, Kevin just put me a note. It's going to be a little bit chilly out here tomorrow. So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to set up some chairs outside, and we have 10 microphones set up. Jody, thanks for reminding everybody. We have 10 microphones set up. This is how we do this. We practiced yesterday at a church. So we have 10 microphones set up at 3 persons per mic. That means we have 30 people reading at one time. Everybody will have a sheet of paper with names on it. Everybody has a different sheet of paper with different names. And as you read those names out loud, when you finish, you sit down, somebody else get up, they speak, they keep going. So we keep those mics busy all the time for the next
5 or 6 hours till we read all these names. And we have a place set up here where we're sitting right now in the Masonic Temple. We'll have coffee and tea here warm. So if you get cold out there, come in and warm up and go back. If your pipes and lungs get cold out there, come in and warm up and come back out and do it again. And remember, you're doing this for these soldiers. They march through the wind and the rain. They march through these battlefields and through these guns blazing and stuff like that. They did all of this for us. We can do a little bit for them, y'all. We can do a little something for them. At least call their name out and join us for this. I'm excited about it. It's the first time we ever did it. We're going to do this every year from now on. And you can have the benefit of knowing you were in the inaugural, the kickoff, the first one that anybody ever did. And so you'll be able to tell your grandchildren about that, about how you helped us. Call out their names. Thank you.
Brother Frank Smith, this Larry Ham. If I come down tomorrow from Jersey, will I be able to read some names? I'd like to read some names.
Come on down, Larry. What will happen is as soon as you walk up, we'll have 15 to 20 people out here with these folders with lists of names in them. Everybody has a different name. So when you walk up, somebody will give you a sheet of paper that has names on it. And then then somebody will direct you to one of those 10 microphones that are set up out there. And you'll be able to read your list. And when you finish, if you feel like reading it, go back and get you on the list and go back up there and read some. Keep on going to your heart's content. So we'd love to have you, brother. Thanks for driving down.
I'm coming down, brother. I'm coming down.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes. And actually, I was born in New Jersey, so I'm happy that Larry's coming. We have about 4 minutes, 5 minutes left. Tina, you want to say your final words real quick?
What I would like to say is that, I want people to remember of what's happening right now and also relating it back to Aunt Harriet, because it's just it's so great that her life is being really celebrated right now at a time like this because of what she gave up to be able to fight for democracy, for inclusion, for justice, and for all of those things. That is so important that we carry on that same fight to be able to take the country to where she thought it could go if they preserve the union as they were trying to do. So I just want people to understand that and know that, that she was a great, great foot soldier.
Okay, and we're almost out of time, but Kevin, real quick, and then I'm going to ask Frank to give out the website for the museum.
Real quick. So I'd like to thank everyone and everyone to realize that the Frederick Douglass family is still out there doing things. We have Frederick Douglass Family Initiatives. We have the Operation Frederick Douglass in Easton, on the eastern shore of Maryland. And in closing for the Black History, Veterans Day, I very rarely ever say this, use this, but it is an honor that I was bestowed upon me by the National Black Veterans Network in Philadelphia. I was given an honorary commission of Brigadier General several years ago. Yeah. So thank you very much.
And I'm going to have Frank give out the website, but I just wanted to add to what Frank said. When we think of those 209,000 soldiers, to remember them, but also we need to remember us, where we are today. And if they could do that back then, they were enslaved people, and they came out to fight against slavery and to make this a better country. So we're doing this for us too. So Frank, let people know, and before I hand it back to Frank, I want to thank our wonderful engineer, Mike Nasella, and all the people who helped make WPFW happen. Stay tuned for the next show, Make It Plain, with Mark Thompson. And before we go out, we're going to hear a little bit more of Sweet Honey in the Rock, Sojourner's Battle Hymn. But Frank, let people know how they can find out more about the African American Civil War Museum.
Okay, thank you very much, Joni. So if you get out here today or tomorrow, we have a new poster that has an image of Frederick Douglass on there. And if you get out here anytime between these 2 days, I'll put Kevin to work to have him sign his signature on one of these posters for you. So come on out and join us. You may also join us online at afroamcivilwar.org. That's our website, afroamcivilwar.org. Please join us online or in person. And if you get here, if you find me, I'll find Kevin, and I have him sign your poster. Thank you, and may God continue to bless the great democracy for which these soldiers stood.
And Frank, tell us again the address and the location of the memorial.
Okay, the address is, we're at the corner of Vermont Avenue and U Street Northwest, right in the Masonic, right there in the Masonic building, because our museum is under construction. You all know we were supposed to have opened it up on today, actually, and tomorrow, but we got the exhibits in there. We just couldn't get them up and couldn't get our occupancy permit in time, so we're not able to go in there. But if you get here and I'm going to take a few private groups in there tomorrow, so maybe we'll be able to get you in there also. May God continue to bless you, and may God continue to bless the spirit for which America stands: freedom and justice for all.
And also, for those of you who may not know, the memorial is right a few yards or feet from the Green Line. So all you have to do is jump on the metro. It's very easy to get to. And you come out on the U Street exit, and there you'll see the memorial. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much, Frank Smith. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Larry. And we hope to see a lot of you tomorrow. Thank you, Mike Masella. And we're going to go out with Sweet Honey in the Rock, Sojourner's Battle Hymn, which is, I'll call it Frank's song. Let's hear it.
Rebels, hush it as you will. Then the birds will sing to us, hopping on the cotton hill. The possum on the gum tree couldn't keep his tail as he went climbing on. Abraham has spoken, and the message has been sent. The prison doors have opened, and out the prisoners went to join the same army of African descent. As we go marching on, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, as we go marching on.
I testify.
Sophie's Parlor is the original women's radio collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., the best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
Thank you, family, for standing with WPFW during our fall drive. Because of your support, we shared powerful moments. The No Kings protest, the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March, and a moving all-day broadcast on the struggles in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Listeners in the Congo downloaded our radio app, tuned in, and sent us messages of gratitude. proof that your generosity connects people around the world. We came within $30,000 of our goal. If you are able, please help us close the gap and keep WPFW strong. Go to our website at wpfwfm.org, where you can donate or get our P.O. Box number of where to send checks. WPFW, Jazz and Justice, people-powered radio, connecting our communities globally while building a better world one broadcast at a time.
In April 2024, WPFW caused me to march on Independence Avenue to let Gaza live. Labor, Black Alliance for Peace, journalists, indigenous and religious groups heard speeches and waved Free Palestine flag. Satellites could see an oversized Palestinian flag. After, NPR labeled the march as economically betraying Palestinian truth. That's why I support PFW. If you need to protect truth and democracy, support PFW with your time, money, and your life if necessary.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly five decades. We provide news, music worth listening to, and in-depth conversations about your community and the world. One of the many ways that you could contribute is to donate a vehicle that you no longer need, running or not. It can do wonders for WPFW, so donate it for a tax break. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW, and it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon, or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
There will be a grand celebration on Veterans Day, Tuesday, November 11th, at the African American Civil War Memorial, Vermont Avenue and 10th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. We'll be reading the names aloud of the 209,145 black soldiers and their white officers that are written on the memorial walls. People are coming from all around the country to participate. The live reading will also be streamed nationwide via YouTube. If interested in joining us in person, you'll receive a list of names upon arrival and participants of all ages, including adults and children, are welcome. For more details, go to afroamcivilwar.org.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
Hello, I'm David Wetzel.